Hello and welcome to our studio, Laurie Penny.
Hi.
So good to have you here.
It's really great to be here.
You just mentioned that you take a closer look in the book, but also generally at the connection between sexism and current political movements. What does it mean for women, do you think, to live in something like the Trump era?
Well, the election of Donald Trump is, among other things, a clear demonstration that people all over the world are prepared to sideline women's rights and sideline the idea of female autonomy, you know, in order to support a worldview which is racist, white supremacist, and intensely, you know, this nihilistic form of elitist capitalism. Women's rights have become a trading point, a point of debate between men over, you know, who really owns women's bodies. But I don't think this began with Trump at all. You know, there is a deep undercurrent of anti-feminism and of misogyny running through Western democracies right now. And it didn't start with Trump. Trump is a symptom of this problem.
So you've just said that it's not just an American problem, it's a global problem, and it's not a new one, but an old one. Where would you say does that stem from then, that it is, it's also not just a problem for women, but for, you know, people of different races and different backgrounds as well. And it's just this all-encompassing going wrong with the world, I should think. You said it didn't start with Trump. Where does it come from?
We are really only 200 years into the movement for women's liberation. And women have made great gains, but the more gains we try to make, the more the backlash is on. And obviously the backlash around the world, you know, and the rise of the far right is not just about misogyny, not at all. It is, you know, expressed via racism, via xenophobia, white supremacy. But sexism and the, you know, parochial ideas of how women should be are a key part of this. The sense of sexual resentment it permeates the new far right, and we should pay attention to that.
Considering that this is a problem that has been going on and hasn't changed actually in possibly centuries, or not that much, and certainly not enough.
It's changed quite a lot.
Yes, a bit, but we still, do we need more debate, and particularly now at this time, more debate? And is this also where the title of your book and your book comes in, that we need more dissent and more people who are trying to stand up for their views?
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that I'm in a position of relative privilege, I'm a white middle-class person with cis privilege, means that, you know, I feel I have a duty to step up right now, even more so. This is no time as a writer or activist or any kind of person with an interest in social justice to capitulate and say, well, maybe we should be softer. This is a time to go harder and be more forthright. Which is why, yeah, now this is as radical a book of collected essays as, you know, I can produce right now. You know, there's no reason to pursue a kind of feminism right now which focuses on making men feel better. That's not the point. If it ever was the point, this is not the time.
Does it also need men, though, to change their minds? Does it also take the male side in feminism?
Yes, men definitely have a role to play within feminism, but it's not a leading role. I'm very, very glad when men can come on board with the feminist movement and recognise that liberation from patriarchy is liberation for everyone. It's very disappointing to see men cling on to these old models of, in these old self-hating models of toxic masculinity and toxic masculine identity. But at the end of the day, feminism does not need men to win victories. You know, we need women. Men can be part of the movement, but they can't lead it.
Considering that, what does it mean for you, or what would you want to see if people want to live a feminist worldview today? What would you like to see more of, perhaps, in the way women stand up for themselves, but also perhaps that men treat women, or men and women treat each other?
Okay, there are lots and lots of changes I would like to see, but it's not my job as a writer to tell people how to live. It's my job to identify problems and to tell people that there are other options, and to, you know, push people to imagine different ways of living rather than be prescriptive. So no, I can't help there.
that's all right. Just encourage, I guess, debate is what it is all about. Apparently, you declare yourself to be, or what comes through in the book is that there's a connection between being anti-capitalist and a social feminist. In what way would you say that capitalism and the inequality for women are connected?
Well, you cannot discuss women's liberation properly without addressing capitalism. And I believe you cannot be a socialist or believe in social democracy without addressing women's rights, because the entire economic basis of capitalism in its current form relies on women's unpaid labour and on control of the means of reproduction. You know, it relies on women playing a certain role with unpaid domestic and care work and low-paid work, and on, you know, raising and bearing children outside the traditional economy. This is just basic, basic stuff. But if we are talking about the global working class, the face of the global working class is a female face. It is the face of someone of colour. And so if you're not talking about anti-racism and you're not talking about women's rights, you're not doing socialism properly.
Wir haben mit Lori Penny gesprochen, Autorin, Aktivistin und Feministin, über ihr neuestes Buch Bitch Doctrine. Thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you. It's been great.
For taking the time to be with us today.
Great. Thanks.